You're listening to the Qalam Podcast, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussain Kamani. This summer, Mufti Hussain will be teaching the Hadith Intensive. Students will study the different methods of compilation and preservation of a Hadith, the major role female scholars have played in Hadith preservation, the biography of famous Hadith narrators, as well as different Ahadith collections and excerpts from famous Hadith texts like Sahih al-Bukhari. For more information, visit hadithintensive.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الانبياء وعلى اله الاسكياء واصحابه الاتقياء اما بعد. The month of Ramadan is a spiritual season for the believers, a season in which we find avenues to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remove the burden that shaitan has placed on our soul, and to free ourselves for the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a month where we strive to earn our entry into Jannatul Firdaus. A month in which we do whatever we can to slam those gates of Jahannam closed so we have no relationship with them at all. People search for different avenues to Jannah. One person chooses one pathway, another person chooses another pathway. And the truth is that there isn't only one pathway to Jannah after Iman. Iman is necessary. After Iman, there are many pathways that can lead a person to Jannah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Those who struggle in our cause, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. We will guide them through our paths. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah is with those who are excellent. Now, an interesting thing about this ayah, most people when they translate this ayah, they miss the one key part of this ayah. Those who struggle in our cause, we will guide them to our... Go ahead. Not path, paths. There's an S at the end there. سُبُلَنَا. It's not سَبِيلَنَا. Meaning there isn't only one pathway to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many pathways to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some pathways are a little congested, some are empty. Some are very short, some are very long. But at the end of the day, there are so many ways a person can enter into Jannatul Firdaus. One of my teachers used to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy showers upon us so much, such a heavy shower that's raining down upon us, and it's begging us to go into Jannah. But unfortunately, we've put up an umbrella. We're stopping the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from touching us. Otherwise, the truth is that if we humble ourselves and just close that umbrella, you won't have to even go anywhere. Jannah will come and find you. That's how many pathways there are to Jannah. There's one hadith of the Prophet that really amazes me. Because the Prophet has an interaction with Jibreel alayhi salam. And in this interaction, Jibreel alayhi salam more or less discusses with the Prophet three easy avenues that a person can enter into Jannah through, but people still miss out on those. So the narration narrated by Ibn Khuzaymah and others, that one day the Prophet ﷺ was climbing the pulpit for a khutbah, for a lecture, and he climbed the first step and he said Ameen. He climbed the second step, said Ameen. He climbed the third step, he said Ameen. One Sahabi said, O Messenger of Allah, why did you say Ameen, Ameen, Ameen three times when you climbed the step? This is something we haven't seen you do before. The Prophet ﷺ responded back by saying that as I was climbing the pulpit, Jibreel alayhi salam came to me and he said, "Man adraka shahra Ramadan falam yughfar lahu." Whoever enters or finds the month of Ramadan and that person isn't forgiven, famata, and he dies in the state that this person was not forgiven, dakhala an-nar, he will enter into the fire of hell. Fa'ba'adahu Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has thrown that person a far distance. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Ameen. Meaning entering into Jannah and not having the decency to just raise your hands once and say to Allah, I'm sorry. You really have to be of a very unique creation to not even raise your hands to Allah and say, Ya Allah, I'm sorry. You don't have to go anywhere. Ramadan came to you. For Hajj, you have to go to Hajj. Ramadan came to you. All you have to do is open the door and say, Ya Allah, I'm sorry. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued on, وَمَنْ أَدْرَكَ أَبَوَيْهِ أَوْ أَحَدُهُمَا فَلَمْ يَبَرَّهُمَا فَمَاتَ فَدَخَلَ النَّارِ. The second person is a person who found both of his parents, or both of her parents, or one of the two, and was not kind enough to them just to earn their du'as and earn their own Jannah. That person then entered into the fire of hell. فَأَبَعَضَهُ اللَّهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threw this person afar, distant away. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen. And the third person, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ ذُكِرْتُ عِنْدَهُ فَلَمْ يُصَلِّ عَلَيْكَ And whoever, مَنْ ذُكِرْتَ Jibreel alayhi salam is saying that. مَنْ ذُكِرْتَ عِنْدَهُ فَلَمْ يُصَلِّ عَلَيْكَ The person who you were mentioned by and he did not say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Or that person did not say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that led this person to the fire of hell. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. So these three pathways, when we study them, we see these are the shortest pathways to Jannah after Iman. The first of the three pathways is building a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan. The second pathway is by serving your parents. And the third pathway is by building a direct and very personal, intimate relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And your relationship reaches a place that any time someone says the name of our master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the heart trembles, the eyes shed tear, and the heart yearns to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A few days back in my lecture, I mentioned that we should make dua for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after I mentioned this in the lecture, a few people came to me afterwards and they said, what does it mean make dua for the Prophet of Allah? So I said, making dua for the Prophet of Allah does not mean you and I make dua like we would make for ourselves. Oh Allah, forgive me. The Messenger of Allah is not in need of that dua. Making dua for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means we read salawat upon him. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad mahu ahlu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions, in Jannah, Allah in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved a special station known as Maqam Mahmud. What is it called? Maqam Mahmud. And that station is exclusive for one person. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I desire I will be that person. So make dua for me that Allah grants me that station. He said this to the companions. Look how humble he was. He said to them, you make dua for me that Allah grants me that station. That's why after every adhan, what do we say? Wa ba'athu مقام محمود الذي وعدت عسى أن يبعثك ربك مقام محمودا because that was a station the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted, a very special, unique station. Today, what I wanted to spend a few moments on, while talking about these three avenues of entering into Jannah, is the second one: serving your parents. Those of us who have parents don't understand the value of them. And those of us who've lost them only desire that if we can go and look at our mother's face one more time. Only if I can walk through the door once again and she'd be sitting in front of me smiling at me. Only if I can walk to her door once again for iftar and she'd make food for me one more time. Only if I was sick again and she would call me and say, my son, how are you doing? She was the only one. They were the only ones who would make dua for you without you having to ask anyone. Everyone else in the world, you can ask them to make dua for you. By Allah, you'll be lucky if that person even includes you in their intention when they're saying, Allahumma ghfir lana. You'll be lucky if your name is even included in the intention when they use a pronoun in their dua. Otherwise, your parents are the people who are your pathway to Jannah. These are the people who are yearning and crying for your love. People who just want you to come and smile at them and say, Mom and Dad, you're the best. People who are waiting for you to come to their feet and say, Mom, I want you to make dua for me. Father, I want you to make dua for me. The Urdu poet, he said, Ye aisa qarz hai jisko main ada kar nahi sakta, main jab tak ghar na lautu meri maa sajde mein rehti hai. This is such a debt to my parents that I owe that I can never pay back. Until I don't return home, my mother remains in prostration making dua for me. The value of parents is lost. Today we have a tough time answering the call when our parents call us. We get agitated and irritated when they call this repeatedly. We get frustrated when they teach us a lesson or when they repeat the lesson that they taught us more than once or twice. If you're looking for Jannah, while your parents are being ignored, spending your time reading the Quran, there is something wrong with your model of spirituality. If you think Jannah is available for someone who fasts, while at the same time their parents are upset with them, then know there is something wrong and faulty with your model of spirituality. The pleasure of your Lord lies in the pleasure of your parent. And the displeasure of your Lord lies in the displeasure of your parent. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't grow up under the nurturing of his parents because they left him at a young age. But anyone after that fulfilled the role of a parent, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remembered that person. When Halima Sa'adiyah comes to visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stood up for her. When Barakah came to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam radiyallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up for her immediately. When the Prophet was traveling past the area where his mother was buried, He stood with the companions and he cried there, and they said, O Messenger of Allah, why are you crying? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when I was 6 years old, I stood right there burying my mother. A man who felt pain. And when he saw companions being disrespectful to their parents, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the first person to advocate on behalf of the parents. A person did hijrah. You understand hijrah? Do you guys understand the weight of hijrah, the severity of hijrah? Life on the line from one city to another in the heat of Arabia, in the desert. You know, don't know if you'll make it or not. A person made hijrah. He just made the greatest sacrifice you and I could ever think of. And when he arrives in Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, did you leave your parents behind happy or angry? He said, O Messenger of Allah, my parents were upset with me. They weren't happy with me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then if you want Jannah, go back and make them happy just as you made them upset. Buy your parents a gift. Take iftari to their home. Sit down and have iftar with them. Turn to your mother and praise her for her beauty, even if that beauty no longer remains because she sacrificed her beauty serving you. Go to your father and tell him how strong and handsome he is, even though today he's gone weak, because know every strand of white hair on his body came into existence because of the concerns, worry, and effort he put into your life being where it is. It's very easy to turn away from the people who today are probably holding us in their hands and would kiss us anytime they had the chance and opportunity to kiss us. Those parents who every time they would close their eyes, they would see our faces in the dreams. Those parents who've done such sacrifices for their kids that they've never even told the kids. Once I taught a Quran, evening Quran class for young kids in England. When I first started my position as an imam 11 years ago, I was teaching a class and there was a young student in front of me, a group of them. And I gave them a task. I said, each of you will go home and you will ask your parents to share with you a story that you have no idea of. Something they've done for you that you have no idea of, that they never told you before. The next day when they came back, they were sharing stories in the class. The whole class was in tears. I was in tears. The students were in tears because these people finally understood for a moment, for a scratch of a moment, what it means to be lucky to have parents with you. Those of you who have your parents, if you want your Jannah, if you really want to solidify your Jannah, earn it through your parents. You know, earn it through your parents. Ibn al-Aun would put his face on the ground and say, oh mother, put your foot on my face. It's a really extreme statement, but he would say this, Ibn al-Aun. He would say, oh mother, put your foot on my face because underneath your foot is Jannah. You know, Ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala, when he would eat with his mother, he would wait for his mother to take a bite and then he would take a bite. Someone asked him why. He said, because I fear that what if I take my hand towards a morsel and my mother looks at it and she desires the very same bite, how can I have something my mother looked at with desire? I want her to first look at her food. I want her to take her food. I want her to eat her food. And then after that, I can take the opportunity to feed myself. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he was one day walking and he came across a Bedouin. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu took off his turban and gave it to that Bedouin. One of his students said to him, that why did you give him such an expensive gift? Your turban, such an honorable, lofty gift. You could have given him something small. Bedouins are usually pleased with small gifts. They don't look for big gifts. So Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, in response, he said that this was a person who was close to my father. I didn't give him my imama today, my turban today, because he was a Bedouin. I gave it thinking that he was someone who my father loved and I wanted to give him respect that I would have given to my father. But now my father radiallahu anhu rahimahullah has passed away. There are ways for those of us who have lost our parents to earn our Jannah steel. Give sadaqah on their behalf. This Ramadan, raise your hands and say, Ya Allah, forgive my parents wherever they are. Ya Allah, make their grave into a garden of paradise. What good am I as a child if I cannot be the entry point of my own parents into Jannatul Firdaus? And if we step out of our way today to make dua for our kids today, for our parents today, sorry. If we go out of our way today to make dua for our parents, and we have this concern that I want to be their pathway into Jannah, then know that one day when you leave this world, there will be a child standing after you at your grave making dua for you. There will be a child giving sadaqah on your behalf. There will be someone who will read Quran on your behalf. Because what you do, kama tadinu tudan. Or as they say in English, what goes around, comes around. What you do for people will come back to you as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with all of the avenues of Jannah. May Allah open up all those doors and inspire us with the strength to access all those pathways. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala softens our hearts and removes the arrogance from us. that we humble ourselves in front of the parents who humbled themselves in front of us for our entire lives. They gave their life for us. Ya Allah, we pray that you accept the remaining of our life for their sake. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.